And good morning to the podcast. Anybody listening on the podcast? I don't know about you. Did anybody see some extra Santas this morning? Yeah, I saw about 20, and I'm not exaggerating. So I thought, I was a bit worried that Santa had started early. And then I found out it was a Santa run. So it's quite interesting, isn't it? Talked to a couple of them to ask them, what on earth's going on? Why are all these Santas out and about? So today I'm doing victory over the adversary. So it's another day to celebrate Jesus and be really proud of him and celebrate what he did on the cross and also what he's empowered us to do because of what he did on the cross. So I'm just going to pray for us. So Father, I thank you that we're here in your presence. Thank you that you're our Father. Thank you that we're your children. And Father, I want to pray that your power is on your word and that your presence is on your word. And I want to pray that today would be like a day where a sword is put in our hand. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, in this sort of preamble to talking about this, I'm reading John. I sort of asked the Lord, what book should I be reading at the moment? And he said, read John and let me show you how proud I am of Jesus. So that's what I've been reading at the moment. And I've got to about John chapter 14. But when I was thinking about this talk, I was in John chapter 12. And in it, it's the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And, you know, we celebrate that, if you're in the Anglican tradition, on Palm Sunday, where because people were so excited when Jesus was coming, they'd cut down branches of palm trees, they threw them at his feet because they were kind of wanting to honour him and let the donkey walk on that rather than on the ground because they were so excited. And they were shouting out, weren't they, Hosanna, 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 which means God save me, God save me, God save me. And it really impacts you when you have Palm Sunday, because the next Friday is Good Friday, and you get the sort of shock of how quick all that adoration went to anger, hatred, rejection, and Jesus died on the cross. And I was thinking about this, and at that time in Israel, it was occupied by the Romans, and that's a really brutal thing. So lots of people would have been killed for that occupation to arise. Lots of people would have been crucified. Lots of people would have been enslaved, sent to the arenas. All that kind of thing is what is involved when the Romans occupied you. It wasn't a, oh, please, gentlemen, allow us to allow you into our country. It would have been brutal. And they hated the Romans. You know, they weren't allowed to go anywhere without getting permission. They were paying extortionate taxes. You know, their country wasn't their own. They weren't free. And they hated them. And when they were crying out to Jesus, Hosanna, their belief was he's going to deliver us from the Romans. And when I was reading this, you know how at the bottom of your Bible it tells you little kind of extra scriptures to look at. And where do I do? Do I point it here? Oh, yeah, Israel had an enemy. I forgot I'd done that. Not bad, Debs. So when I was reading this, it had this bit of Zechariah, because actually when Jesus was riding on the donkey, he was fulfilling a prophecy that had occurred hundreds and hundreds of years previous. And I was reading that, and it says, rejoice greatly, O my people, shout with joy, for look, your king is coming. He is the righteous one, the victor, yet he is lowly, riding on a donkey's colt. And I've always kind of stopped there, but then I saw the next verse. I will disarm all peoples of the earth, including my people in Israel, and he shall bring peace among the nations. His realm shall stretch from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. And so I was thinking of all those people would have had that in their mind. You know, they really knew their Bible well. They had it every week in the synagogue. And they'd have been thinking, this is it. This is it. He's coming to bring peace. He's going to rid us of this vile oppression. Hosanna. And then, you know, It comes to Friday, and Jesus died a very Roman death, you know, crucified. And they, you know, you hear, this is the Debs Burnham kind of sort of paraphrase, but, you know, we thought you could save us. You can't even save yourself. You can't even get off that cross. You know, you are weak. And they must have been so disappointed. And they so rejected him in anger because of it. You can't even save yourself. That's what they were thinking. But the amazing thing about the cross is God has a bigger plan. He didn't just want to save one particular people at one particular time from one specific enemy. He wanted to save the entire world for all time, through every generation, from the real enemy. Hang on. Can I have the next slide, Leonie, sorry. So he wanted to save the whole world. And the Bible makes it very clear that without Jesus, you are in slavery. You are in darkness, is one of the ways it puts it. So you are under the oppression of Satan. And I'm aware with my talk that I'm missing loads of gaps, so I haven't got time to talk about it. But obviously for Christians, we believe that there is evil in the world, but there is, it isn't just some sort of inanimate, abstract idea. It has a name, it's a personality, it's Satan. And the Bible makes it very clear that you are in slavery. You're slave, enslaved to him, you're enslaved to sin. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but one of the ways the Bible explains it is that you make this decision, you think, I'm going into this situation, I want to be like this. And you get into the situation and you find the thing that you really had said to yourself you're not going to do, you do. And there's times when you think, I am definitely not going to do that. I do not want to do that anymore. I hate that about myself. I'm not going to do it. And then you're in a situation and you find yourself doing the very thing that you said to yourself you were not going to do. And that's because you're in slavery. And you're in slavery to sin. And the Bible makes it very clear. There's a real enemy. You're enslaved to him. And that's why Jesus had to come. So God's plan is so much bigger and so much better. And just at the beginning of this talk, I really felt like I wanted to remind you that if you're feeling a bit disappointed at the moment, if there's something you're waiting for God to do, if you're feeling like he's not done what you thought he was going to do, I want to tell you that the cross shows you that what God wants to do is always so much more than you could ever imagine. And so I want to encourage you to choose to believe him. He has got so much more for you. They thought that was it, crucified. Jesus rose again, and he smashed the power of Satan. So that's where I'm focusing on. So I want to put a sword in your hand, want you to dust yourself off, get back up, and fight and believe in Jesus. So I want to talk about how Jesus describes what he did on the cross and how he describes dealing with Satan. Very good, Debs. Be good if you remembered what you'd done. So this is what he says: for when Satan, strong and fully armed, guards his palace, it is safe until someone stronger and better armed attacks and overcomes him and strips him of his weapons and carries off his belongings. And what Jesus did on the cross was strip him of his weapons and carry off his belongings. He is the one who is stronger. So I was thinking to myself, that's good. What were the weapons that you stripped him off, Jesus? And what were the belongings that you carried off? So I'm sure there's others. I'm just concentrating on these ones, but thank you. Here's some of his weapons: guilt, shame, fear, temptation, unbelief. And if I was going to sum it all up, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done on the cross, every one of those things actually is a lie. So how do I mean that? So for instance, in my what I believe the enemy tries to do is create strongholds in your life. So it's a little bit like, it's a military analogy because the Bible makes it clear we're at war. And it's like the enemy tries to get a stronghold, get a city from which he can target and do terrorist warfare out to it, okay? He gets a stronghold. And he gets strongholds in our lives. So for me, I had a stronghold in my life of guilt. It was a lie. And I'll tell you why it was a lie, because what he would do is he would remind me of all the things I'd done that I'd done wrong. And because they were things I'd done wrong, I would think, that's true, I've done those things, that's terrible. And I would feel totally guilt-ridden and I would feel ashamed. And it would make me feel I had nothing to offer anybody else. It made me feel I was a danger. What's the next time I'm going to do something wrong? And it felt very true because those were the things I'd done. But one day, as I often talk about this because it was an amazing thing in my life, I walked in to my house, and as I walked in, I heard the words, it's not what you have done, it's what he has done for you. And it went pow, and I realized, and I finally took Jesus' death on the cross for me, that he had died for me. And that stronghold, which was a complete lie that he had built on layer on layer on layer of shame in my life, was smashed, and I've never struggled with guilt again. So that's what he wants to do. Yeah, amen. Amen. He wants to do that for us. So constantly in your mind are thoughts coming in, and they're in your voice. They sound like you, but it's learning to recognize that you have an enemy, and he wants you to be controlled, and he wants you to be ineffective, and most of all, he wants you to grow cold and not believe in Jesus anymore. That's his ultimate aim. So, he has these weapons. These are the weapons that Jesus has stripped him of, and you do not have to put up with anymore. What are his belongings? Here are some of his belongings. Sickness, do you know? Jesus, at the cross, it says, by his stripes you have been healed. So actually, sickness is an enemy's attack, and Jesus is love. And what he wants to do is never to see people suffer from illness or sickness. That's his heart. So he carried off that weapon of the enemy, that belonging of the enemy. Death, we've been singing about it today. It's an amazing bit in 1 Corinthians 15 where it says, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? You've been swallowed up and you have no power over us anymore. So we don't have to be afraid about death because we're going to rise again with Jesus. He smashed that belonging of the enemy. And I've put here authority and power. Not the topic of my talk today, but in the garden of Eden, Adam and Eve chose to obey Satan and to believe what he was saying and follow him. And in so doing, they gave up their power and authority, and Jesus won it back for us. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit more detail in a moment or two. But those are his belongings, and those belongings Jesus has carried off. So the enemy wants you to feel hopeless, helpless, powerless, condemned, insignificant, ill, stressed. But he's defeated. He's been disarmed. And Jesus has come that you might have life and have it to the full. So that's what Jesus said about it. I've come, I've bound the enemy in his palace, and I have taken away all his weapons, and I have carried off his belongings. This is Jesus. So how does somebody else talk about it? This is what Paul says in Colossians. So when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So that's how Paul puts it. And this word Can you see that? It says it's cancelled the charge. What that actually means, don't know how to express that word, not Greek. XLIFO, have no idea, but it means wiped clean. Your slate has been wiped clean. Absolutely wiped clean. Nothing on it at all. And that is why he has disarmed the enemy. The enemy has no hold over you because there is no compromise in my kind of, you know, who I am because of Jesus. There's no sin he can get hold of because it's been wiped clean. He's completely disarmed the enemy. So if your enemy is trying to create a stronghold of guilt and shame, by the way, just get into that reality that your slate's been wiped clean. So it says he's been disarmed. Again, that picture of taking away all the weapons, and that Jesus has actually triumphed over him. And made a public spectacle of him. And I've just shoved that in there because that's another Roman analogy. Because the Romans, when they took over somewhere, they would grab loads of people, make them slaves, tie them all together, whip them along behind their chariots. And, you know, people would be booing and throwing stuff at them and cheering the centurions and all that kind of stuff. And they would bring it to Caesar, and he would, you know, be looking from on high down at all the hordes of people that have been captured for him. And that's what Jesus says he did. You know, Paul says Jesus did for Satan, made a complete public spectacle of him. You are completely under my power, under my domain. You have been destroyed. Everything you have has been taken. You have no power. So that's our Jesus. So Satan is no match for Jesus. They are not equal. Okay? And Jesus overcame him for us. He wasn't in a battle for himself. It was a battle he did for us. And he overcame him when he came and lived on this earth, and he never once gave in to temptation. And he never once gave in to the temptation of avoiding the cross. And he overcame him by refusing to retaliate when he was tortured. He overcame him by refusing to disobey God at any stage in his life, but especially under that immense pressure of suffering at the cross. And he overcame him by refusing to hate his enemies, or by trying to deal with it in another way, by bringing the power of the angels to help him escape what he was going through. He took back all the power and authority that Adam had lost by remaining free, uncontaminated, and uncompromised. He overcame evil with good. That's our Jesus. So I wanted to focus on, well, if that's true, how come we don't always live in the good of that? Yeah? So that's where I'm coming from. And to start with, I want to say I think there's two mistakes that people can do. My first one is excessive skepticism. So a lot of people, because we kind of live on what we can see, what we can touch, what we can taste, that kind of thing, we live not realizing that there is a spiritual reality to our lives and that we are in conflict with an enemy. And so what I think that does is it means that sometimes we are dealing with situations and we don't win the fight because we don't realize who we're fighting. And I think also what it does is it leads to passivity. So, oh, well, it's just the way it is. It's the way it goes kind of attitude. And I think sometimes I want to say to people, put that sword in your hand. Jesus won authority for you. Take authority over what's happening in your family. You know, there is a battle going on. Recognize it. See it. And so I want to really encourage you. We don't want to fall into this one. The enemy is very happy with us to be skeptical. It means we are no threat to him if we're like that. So I think that is a huge mistake. But the one I probably hate even more is this one. Excessive preoccupation. Feeling, you know, that he's behind every corner, he's in every situation and utterly fearful of him. And I just want to play you, Leonie, if we can have this little clip, because this is what I think it can be like. if we can. If we can't, we can't. Okay? What I was going to show you, has anybody seen Planet Earth? Yeah? Did you see the bit with the poor iguana? Yeah, just that, yeah? And he's kind of, wait, and then he dashes, and then snakes are coming from everywhere, aren't they? And you're like, what? You know, it's, I don't know about you, but we were like, ah! Yeah. Oh, here we go.
A snake's eyes aren't very good, but they can detect movement. So if the hatchling keeps its nerve, it may just avoid detection.
Yeah, but we know, David. We know what you're going to show us. No, you're like, come on, iguana! Keep calm. Wait for it. Thanks, Leonie.
A near miracle.
So for the podcast, it's a little bit where the iguana is fighting all the snakes. So, yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh. It's all right watching it now, you know, when you've watched it before and you know the iguana's going to get escaped. But when you're first watching, it's like, David, you're doing it to me again. But actually, I think there's a lot of people who live like that. They live afraid. They're expecting bad things to happen to them. They're living with this huge exaggerated sense of the enemy when actually he's disarmed and he's been beaten at the cross. So they live in fear and they hide rather than fight. I mean, just as a little example, you know, Jesus tells the parable of the talents, and the person with the one talent has allowed fear to dominate their lives and to hide, and they don't really live their life. And too many of us make a lot of decisions based on fear, and the enemy is behind that. They can hide rather than fight when we have an exaggerated sense of how big and fearful Satan is. But also, sometimes people can fail to take responsibility. So it's all because of him and what he's doing, rather than owning up to the fact that maybe we've been sowing into the wind and therefore reaping a bit of the whirlwind in some of our behaviour. So those two are mistakes: excessive scepticism about him and excessive preoccupation. This is how Jesus wants us to be. Can I have the next clip, Leonie? If it works. Killed twice. So for the podcast, I'm actually wearing extremely slick black leather trousers. I've got a black jacket on, my hair slicked back. I'm just looking over my sunglasses and I've just gone, no. Maybe not. But, you know, I wouldn't mind. Well, aren't they so cool? In, so that was just a little clip of The Matrix, one of my favourite films. But actually, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you've got weapons being fired at you, and you have the authority of Jesus to go, no, no. Jesus demonstrated in his life that he had power over the enemy. So basically, if anybody came to him who was poorly, he made them well. If anybody came to him oppressed by the enemy, he delivered them. If anybody was actually dead and somebody said, please come, he raised them to life. Every single time he did that, he was going around doing good and demolishing Satan and what he was doing. It says, you know, this is the heart of Jesus, that he loves you. He loves you. And he's looking all the time. Every single day he got up in the morning, it was, what good can I do today? How can I be about my Father's business? How can I smash the horror that I see around me every day? Okay? And then, because there was only the one of him, because at that time he was limiting himself to a body being a man, he sent out the 12. Then he sent out the 72. Then he says, when he died, when he rose again, he gave us this great commission. He says, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. So he has given us this. I was thinking, I don't know what word to call it really, but I think I want to say privilege of being able to live right, to have that power and authority and to live and do that, to set people free, to smash the enemy, to go around doing good. He's empowered us to do it. And I think it's an amazing privilege that we get, because we won't get that when we get to heaven. We've got that privilege now. So Jesus is giving us an opportunity by what he did on the cross to kick some butt. So if that being the case, I'm going to whiz through this, but how does the enemy get some influence over our lives? So I want to tell you some things to think about. Sin. If you are repeatedly sinning when you know it's wrong, that is a way of letting the enemy in. For instance, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. So sin can do it. Unforgiveness. In Matthew 18, it says about the servant who'd been forgiven so much and then didn't forgive somebody so little that he was handed over to the torturers. A little glimpse of what the enemy is allowed to do if you allow unforgiveness in your life. The occult is an obvious one. You're just playing into the enemy's hands from, you name it, Ouija boards to seances to black magic to what you name it. That's just saying, come and invade my life, enemy. Drugs or hypnotism, I just mentioned, because they're things where we surrender our control to something else that's allowing the enemy in. So you can give the enemy some control in your life, the main way being through lies, but through these ways as well. But obviously, it's not a problem because of Jesus. And we have two amazing weapons, repentance, saying, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry I did that. I don't want to do that anymore. Boom, the slate is wiped clean. The enemy's disarmed. Forgiveness is a powerful weapon. Forgiving those who've hurt us, that just breaks the power of the enemy as well. So it's not a problem. The whole point of this is it's not a problem because Jesus has disarmed the enemy. Okay? What I felt God really wanted me to tackle today is fear. So I just want to concentrate on that just for a brief moment, that it's one of his weapons is fear. And it's been a battle that I've had to fight quite a few times, and this year has been quite a battle for me with fear. I think it's the number one tool to keep us from being in God's will and enjoying the life that he has provided for us. Satan wants to box you in and shrink you down. And he wants to make you feel like your problems are insurmountable. And to me, the reason that fear is such a deadly thing, it's like the antithesis of faith. And faith is what empowers us to see situations bow the knee to the name of Jesus and to release his goodness. But fear is like the expectation of harm, the expectation that things will go badly. And it's the absolute opposite, and it completely and utterly disarms you of your weapons against the enemy. So I really feel like God wants us to deal with that today. So what have I got next? Leonie, I need a little bit of help. Yeah, Sarah Lawrence has introduced me to this fantastic album called Champion, which, and in it there's a song called God With Us. I just want to remind you, the chorus goes, God with us, God for us, nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. And when I'm sort of in a situation where I feel tempted to be fearful, I kind of whop that on, you know, mega, and I'm just declaring the truth and fixing my eyes on him. So what I wanted to tell you is that you've got two amazing weapons in your arsenal. There's loads that God's given you, but there's two I felt he wanted me to concentrate on. And the first one is the shield of faith. So I've put in there, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, can't sing it properly because my throat, but yeah, I mean, Clint Eastwood, the only man who can look good in a poncho, come on, it's really good. But there's this moment, isn't there, if anybody has seen a few dollars more, Fistful of Dollars, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, like, yeah, spaghetti westerns, grew up with them. There's this moment where he gets shot at loads and loads of times and he looks indestructible and the man's been shooting and what's going on? You know, Clint Eastwood, untouched, and then he moves his poncho to one side and there's this shield. And then he kills the guy. And I want to say to you, but I just want to say to you, do you know what? What you've got is not mamby-pamby. What you've got is really cool. It's really real. It's really, you know, it's going to deal with the enemy. It's the shield of faith. And what do I mean by that? Faith is you focus on God. You focus on him rather than the problem, okay? You declare the truth that God is for you, God is with you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. God has promised that goodness and mercy will follow me every single day of my life. You know, yeah, I'm weak, but when I'm weak, it gives God an amazing opportunity to show his glory and his power and his strength through me. You know, God can win with any hand. Even if I've only got a pair of twos, he can win. So I really want to encourage you to focus on God and not the issue. And that is where faith begins to arise. I like to kind of read Bible stories and then put myself in the story. And I was reading the other day, Jesus, you know, in the storm, in the boat, and he's asleep. Why is he asleep? Because he knows his Father loves him. And if God said we're going to the other side of the lake and we're going to do X and Y, we're going to go over to the other side of the lake. So just because there is a storm, I'm just going to sleep and trust him. And I want to say to you, a little indication if fear is a bit of a problem, a bit of insomnia can be a little indication that fear has been getting hold of you. And the disciples are in a panic. The water's coming over. They wake Jesus up. He gets up and he just goes, no. That's my paraphrase. He says, peace. But I think it'd be cool if he was like, no, a little bit of Neo. And the storm stops. And when I was sort of praying, I said, Jesus, I'm just so proud of you that you can do that. It's amazing. You know, where am I? And he said to me, you're on my shoulders and you've got your little hand up and I've got my big hand up and we're doing it together. We're going, no. And so, you know, there are different storms, aren't they? It really happened in the Bible, but there are storms we go through where we need to kind of, you know, get on top of Jesus' shoulders and put our shield of faith on and focus on him and say, no. Yeah? So that's one of our weapons. This is my other one. Okay, this is Aragorn. He's one of my little heroes. Killing one of the orcs. And I've got that sword killing because it's a sword. It's meant to kill. It's meant to destroy, yeah? And he's given you a sword. And it says in Ephesians, you know, the sword is the word of the spirit of... The sword is a war. Look it up, Debs, for goodness sake. What does it say? The spirit... What is it? The sword is the spirit, which is the word of God. There we go. Phew, that was it. Got it out. And I think, actually, God, when you ask Holy Spirit, he will show you things to declare. And it may well be it's words from the Bible, like, you know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You know, if God is for me, who can be against me? There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, you get that whole kind of goodness and mercy going to follow me, whatever it is. But also, I think God wants to show you things. So sometimes I'm, you know, I do a, oh Lord, I'm worried about Sophie about this, I'm worried about Sarah about that, my children, whatever. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he'll say to me, Debs, this is what I want you to declare, you know, and I will declare it. And I will feel that as I'm doing it, I've got a sword in my hand and I am dismantling the enemy's strategy and I'm releasing God's mighty power into the situation. So I want to tell you that you have got a sword in your hand and you need to say, you know what, Lord, I can see the enemy's doing something, but you are going to be doing something. What are you doing? And I'm going to focus on what you're doing. I'm going to focus on how much you love me. And I'm going to declare it. And as I declare it, I know your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish everything you say it's going to do. Because Jesus has disarmed the enemy and he's put the weapons in my hand. So I, even if you don't know what else to declare, I want to say to you, why not declare, I will not live in fear? Because then you know that that is your birthright. And even if it doesn't change sometimes how you feel, you're not going to go on what you feel. You're going to go on the truth that God will bring me through. So don't focus on your problems and talk them up. Focus on God and talk him up. One of my favorite films is As Good As It Gets. And in there he goes, I'm drowning here and you're describing the water. And I think sometimes we spend an awful lot of time describing the situation and the problem rather than talking about God and what he's going to do. And I just want to remind you of an amazing promise. One of the amazing promises that he said. In Hebrews, he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently say, the Lord is my helper. In time of need, I will not be afraid. What can man do for me? This is our God. So I think that's a really encouraging scripture. That could be part of your sword in your hand. So what I wanted to do is, if fear, worry, anxiety, insomnia, or, you know, the way we deal with fear, control, if that is an issue for you, I would like you with me to do some kicking butt, as I like to put it, this Sunday. And we are going to give that fear to Jesus today and say, by doing that, Jesus, you are good. You are my Lord. You love me. And you can take this and you can deal with it. That's what we're doing. So if that's an issue for you in any shape or form, I would like you to stand. And we're going to pray. And if it isn't, you're going to be just really praying for these people. So first thing we're going to do is just welcome Holy Spirit, okay? So Jesus, I just want to welcome you by your Holy Spirit. I want to welcome you. And in Sozo, we say to people at the start of a prayer, praying for them, ask Jesus, Jesus, where are you in the room right now? And we say to people, whatever flicks into your mind, a thought, a picture, just a sense of peace, whatever it is, that'll be you just connecting with Jesus. So I really want you to connect with him. So just picture him or just say, you know, here I am, Jesus. But really connect with him inside because he's the one who's disarmed the enemy. So Jesus, we just welcome you here. We ask for your presence to fall and rest on each person here who's been struggling with fear. And now what I want you to do is to, in your head, name that fear. And I don't mean Bert, but what I mean is it might be a fear of man. It might be a fear of getting cancer. It might be a fear of relationships, fear of the future, fear of dying. Whatever that fear is, I want you to look it in the eye and say, this is what the fear is, okay? Okay. And then what we're going to do now is we're going to hand it to Jesus. So you might want to picture handing it to him, or you might just want to say in your heart, Jesus, I give you this fear. Okay? So Jesus, right now, we are giving you, handing over this fear. We're handing over this thing that we've been struggling with, that's been overwhelming us, that's been clouding our minds, making us make stupid decisions, making us not live well, making us stay awake at night. Whatever it is, we're just handing it to you now, Jesus. We're handing it to you. Just give it to him. Yeah. And in the name of Jesus, I just proclaim over you freedom right now. Lord Jesus, I pray every agreement that we've made with the enemy about whatever it is, I just ask your precious blood would just break the power of that now in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for all that kind of heaviness and blackness and darkness that have been over people's lives to be released now in Jesus' name. And I pray for a lightness and a joy to bubble up inside. And I want to pray in your mercy, Jesus, for gifts of faith about whatever it is each person's been struggling with, a faith in you that you are able, more than able, to deal with that situation, whatever it is. So let faith arise in the name of Jesus in each heart right now, right now. And what I want you to just put your hands out as if you're going to receive as an act of faith. And what Jesus is going to do is he's going to bring you some peace. And most of all, I think his love is going to invade your heart. So as you have your hands out in faith, Jesus, I just ask that you would come to each person now. And I pray for a gift of peace to settle in that area they've been struggling right now. Let peace come. And I just declare love, the love of God, the love of the Father, the one who loves you more than anybody else, the one who is pursuing you every day to do you good. Let that love fill that place where fear has been, in the mighty name of the powerful one, the one who has disarmed the enemy and has all power and all authority, Jesus, in his name. Amen. Yeah. So how about we just give him a big shout and say, yes, come on, Jesus, 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 yes, yes. So that is a battle.